Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. We are thrilled to have you here with us tonight, and we're looking forward to our lesson. We're going to start something new for the next few weeks. We're going to be sharing the lessons from our lectureship entitled Growing in Faith, and it comes from the writings of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, and it deals with the Christian virtues. I want to read the scripture for you as we begin this study. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall or stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you're here with us. We hope you enjoy this study over the next few weeks. And we want you to know if you're in our part of the world, please stop by and worship with us, study with us, grow with us. We'd love to have you. We have Bible classes on Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:20 and worship again at 5 o'clock. And then we have our Wednesday evening midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. If you're passing through Odessa or if you're moving here to stay, come worship with us. We'd love to have you. Now, first up in our series is Brother Mike Bonner from San Angelo, Texas. He is a preacher and one of the elders at the 9th and Main Congregation of the Lord's Church. His subject matter for the lesson is Add to Your Faith Virtue. It's going to be a two-part lesson, and we hope you'll join in. Brother Mike is married to Evelyn, and they have 5 children, Nathaniel, Brianna, Maya, Michaela, and Michael. They are residents there in San Angelo. He's been proclaiming the gospel since 1997 and is a 2006 graduate of the Southwest School of Biblical Studies in Austin, Texas. Get your Bibles and your notebooks ready and listen in as our brother Mike opens up the Word of God and shares with us this wonderful lesson on virtue.
It is indeed a blessing to be here as we come to study God's Word together, to lift up the name of Christ and to always keep in mind that it's about him and not about us. As we are embarking on this particular study, we do want to keep in mind that we do have a responsibility, every last one of us, to add to our faith. And when we consider adding to our faith, what a blessing it is to have that opportunity to do so. The world that we live in, as John said a long time ago in 1 John 5, verse number 19, lieth in wickedness. We know for a fact that as we are living this life, that there are going to be things that's going to bring us down. We know that in this life that sin is ever among us and around us. But we have a responsibility not to be part of it. We have a responsibility that if we're going to grow, that we grow in the right direction. It is possible to be a champion of sin. That's not what we want to be. We want to be a champion in the faith. We want to make sure that as we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, that we're doing it according to what God has said. I'm reminded of what Paul said on one occasion in Romans 5, verse 12, as it relates to Adam, and how Adam, when he sinned, he brought death and sin into the world, which demonstrates to us, friends, that death and sin was outside of the world, and if Adam would have did what God said, it had stayed outside of the world. And so we stop and we consider those things, and adding to our faith, this is what we want to do today. So let's begin our study in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll make our way to 2 Peter chapter 1 here in a few minutes. When we consider the Apostle Peter, one that was called by Jesus Christ, he is a bondservant and an apostle, meaning that he was one that submitted himself under the master, under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And because he had confined himself, Jesus did not make him, God did not make him, the Spirit did not make him confine himself to Jesus. He did that himself. Jesus turns around and makes him an apostle, sends him out. And so here we find that Peter is talking to those who are scattered, if you will. And we see in that particular list the brethren that he was addressing to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, so forth and so on. I find it very interesting as he is talking to these particular individuals, and this particular letter is written roughly about 60, 64 AD. So you're looking at around 30, 34 years after the day of Pentecost. Now, this is a point that I want to make before we go even further, is that in this particular list, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2, we find these particular individuals there on the day of Pentecost. They were there, which also demonstrates to us that they were still faithful to God. And the very fact that they were faithful to God ought to tell us something, that 30 years after obeying the gospel, it is possible to still be faithful to God. And, you know, this caused me to think even about my own personal life. After being in the Lord for the last 23, 24 years, we ought to be growing. We ought to be going in the ascending direction, not descending, but ascending. And so here, Peter, as he is addressing these good brethren here, he's telling them, okay, since you have are in the faith, you're living faithful, I need to remind you of some things. And every now and then, we need a reminder. There's an old saying back in the day that I used to say, you need a checkup from the neck up for your wreck up. Now, I need you to think about that, because the checkup that we need is from the neck all the way up. And so when we consider what Peter is talking about here, he is demonstrating to them that they still needed to be faithful, and they needed to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We know who he's talking to. We know who's speaking. We know the time frame in which he was speaking of. And now in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter again says, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He knows who he belongs to. If we're going to grow and continue to grow, we need to keep in mind who we belong to. Sometimes we forget who we belong to. Peter did not forget. He did not forget he was a bondservant. He did not forget he was an apostle, one sent. And notice what he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. I find this very interesting, because if we're going to add to our faith virtue, we have to know how we get to virtue. And so when we consider, he is talking to those who have obtained the same type of faith. The original brings out the same valued faith, which tells us that the faith that we have is not only a valued faith, but it is the same faith. All of us have to have the same faith in order for it to be a like faith. And so when we consider a like faith, I'm reminded of what Paul said in Galatians 1 in verse number 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, which Paul is telling the Galatian brethren there that you are of the same faith. Why? Because Ephesians 4, 4, and 5, there's only one faith. And that faith is a like precious faith. It is a faith, or the faith, that is built upon the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, which demonstrates to us, friends, that there's only one gospel, one righteousness. And when we consider that, friends, all of us have to obey the same gospel. So Paul is telling them that they have the same valued faith by the righteousness of God, and that righteousness is based upon the gospel message of Jesus Christ.
And you remember what Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here's the point, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, friends, let's not forget that. And as Christians, we have to remind ourselves that the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed.
Yes, sir.
And so when we keep that in mind, then we're going to continue to ascend toward heaven. We're going to continue to grow toward heaven. And so notice verse number 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now notice what is connected to knowledge, grace and peace. Notice what's connected to the knowledge of God, that which is multiplied. So when I stay with the knowledge of God, Brother Flunder, grace and peace should multiply.
Yes, sir.
And one thing we know about addition, when you add 1 + 1, you're going to get 2. Well, if you want to speed up the process, you want to multiply. Well, if you want to multiply grace and peace in your life, you got to stay in the knowledge of God. Got to stay in it. And so here he says, favor and tranquility, favor and peace be multiplied to you. They're the direct object. They're the ones that are receiving the grace and peace, but it's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, here's a little point. Put this in your notes. I find it interesting that the only way that one is going to know who God is, Jesus had to come and reveal him to us.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through verse number 30. Don't have time to go through that. That's not part of the lesson. But we know that God sent Jesus to reveal him to mankind. You could put John 1, verse 18. Jesus, being in the bosom of the Father, came to declare him. John 6, 44 and 45. It is through the word of God that Jesus declares who God the Father is. And so when we consider the knowledge of our God and Jesus Christ, our Lord, friends, grace and peace is only going to be multiplied through them. And so notice the next part. He says, as his divine power. Now I find this very interesting that when you consider the salvation of mankind, and you consider the sanctification of mankind. When we consider salvation, talking about bringing man out of sin. When you think of sanctification, you're talking about getting the sin out of man after he has been saved. What do we mean by that? You remember when God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He saved them from bondage. He saved them from sin. So after he did that, he took the next 40 years getting Egypt out of them. And that's what sanctification is. And so when you consider sanctification and you consider the divine power, I want us to be considering all three of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are instrumental in bringing man to salvation, but also instrumental in sanctifying, setting man apart from sin so he can live with God throughout eternity. And so you consider this, friends, I want us to look at what the text says. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, consider the divine power. Here, I suggest to you, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit, because he already brought out the knowledge of God. He already brought out Jesus, our Savior. And now he talks about the divine power, which is the Holy Spirit. And you can put in your notes, Matthew 22. Verse number 29. You can also put in your notes Mark 9, verse number 1, and Acts 1, verse 8. Now, this is the reason why I bring these particular points out. Because if one is going to add to their faith, they have to know where faith comes from. If one is going to add to their faith, then they got to know who is the one that's helping them to add to their faith. It is the divine power. We know that God the Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ is on his right hand. The Holy Spirit was sent to do a work, John 16, 7 through verse number 13. And when the Holy Spirit did his work through the apostles, as they received revelation inspired by the Holy Spirit, they wrote it down, and whereby when you read, you can understand the knowledge of God. And so it is this knowledge that they needed to obtain. It's this knowledge that they needed to have in order to understand what they needed to do in order to be set apart from sin. Go like this if y'all understand what I'm talking about, okay? And so I need us to consider this, because if we go straight into the virtue and we don't break down the first four passages, we'll be lost. And sometimes we treat Bible study just like that. And so we have to be careful. And so we have the divine power that has given us all things that pertain to life. That's eternal life and godliness. And when we consider eternal life, remember what Jesus said about his word, John 6, verse number 63. He said, my words are spirit, they're life. You think of godliness? Turn to Titus chapter 1 and look at verse number 1. We'll show you this little bitty point here, because Paul uses the same word as Peter used in the word godliness, and how godliness must be that which is accord or in line with the truth. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. Let's stop real quick. If I'm going to add to my faith, I have to acknowledge what truth is. And if I acknowledge what truth is, then I'm on my way to being what God desires for me to be. Amen. And then notice what he says, which accords with godliness. The word godliness is the idea of fear or respect, reverence. Now, that's important. And the reason why that's important, turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me demonstrate to you why this is important. Because when there is a proper fear, a proper respect for God, a proper respect for godliness, a proper respect for religious things, for spirituality, for sanctification, then that person puts themselves in a position that God can help them grow. Okay? And so if a person, Brother Royce, doesn't have a respect for godliness, for godly things, they're not going to grow. It can look like they're growing, but it reminds me of the wheat and tares. It looks healthy until it's time for harvest. And so here we find that Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and reverence, life and fear. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why do men sin? Psalm 36 and verse number 1, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And so God has to know that we reverence him. The Holy Spirit was sent to give us his word to teach us that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, how? Through the knowledge. Through his word. Now, this is Brother Raphael, so I ain't gonna bother with it too much, but it's through knowledge. The Holy Spirit is not gonna come and hit you on your head. He's not gonna give you divine inspiration. It's not gonna be spirit upon spirit. He has given us his word, and so whereby when we read, we can understand what God has said. And so through the knowledge of him who called us by. Now, notice the word called there. I promise you, when we get to 2 Peter 1, verse number 5, in virtue, all this is going to connect. 2 Thessalonians 2, and verse 13 and 14, with the emphasis on 14, whereunto you call by thy gospel. How does God call mankind today? He calls every sinner the same way, by the gospel, which is God's only power to save mankind. Now, this ought to help us as children of God, that as children of God, we make sure that we stay with the gospel. We stay with the power. The power is not in spaghetti dinners. The power is not in trying to have gimmicks and games to get people to come to the Lord. I can't stand when congregations do stuff like that. Stay with the gospel. Yes, stay with the power. You stay with the power, you'll stay with God. You get away from the God, you'll get away from the power. You get away from the power, you get away from God. So notice what he says. He called us by or through glory and virtue. Now this word through, put this in your notes, it's very important. The word here literally means by reason of or account of. Now, let's put that in the verse as we read. So he says he called us by reason of glory and virtue. Who called us on account of glory and virtue. Now, the reason why that's important, friends, is because the very one who has these characteristics That's how he is calling us. He's calling us on account of his glory. He's calling us by reason of his virtue. And so the very thing that God desires for us to be is the very thing that he is. And so God is not calling us to be something that he's not. Which means that a person can't say, I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and remain in the same lifestyle of sin and debauchery as they was before they said they obeyed the gospel. And so this is why when I consider passages, matter of fact, let me just throw this in. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22 and 23, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, how? Through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now notice this, having been born again, John 3:3 through 7, born of water and spirit. Now notice this, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, question. If I obey a corruptible seed, will that lead me to God? The answer is no, which means that it's important that if I have to obey an incorruptible seed in order to obey God, I must keep the seed incorruptible in order to stay with God. And so here, God calls by reason of or on account of his glory. Now, the word glory there is the idea of splendor. Majesty, most glorious condition, his most exalted state. God calls us by his most exalted state. And this is why a high view of Jehovah is vitally important, because if my view of Jehovah is high, then my lifestyle will match it. But if my view of Jehovah is low, then my lifestyle will match it. And so when we consider God is calling us by reason of or on account of his splendor, his majesty, his most glorious condition, his most exalted state. But not only is he calling us by that, but he's also calling us by his virtue. But what is his virtue, Brother Mike? His virtue is his moral excellence, his virtuous course of thought, the way that God thinks, his excellence in character. God calls us by his character. And no wonder when we are living the life that we're supposed to live as children of God, people will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. No wonder when they see us walking in the light as he himself is in the light, they see us glorifying God. They want to say, how can I live like that? No wonder when they see us as we are speaking, we're speaking as the oracles of God. How can I get with where you are so I can think and speak and feel like you? Because just as God is glorious and just as God is calling us by his moral character, we have a desire to be just like him. Amen. Just like him. And so when we consider God calling us, but God, why are you calling us? Because I got something that I want to give you. See, some folk try to put God on the same level as them. God's not selfish. God is giving. God is not calling us to a certain characteristic and a certain lifestyle and a certain excellence just to be calling us. God wants people to live with him throughout eternity, and the only way you can do that, you got to get rid of self and be like him. And so notice what he says, by which have been given to us. Now notice the past tense language that Peter uses, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Stop. Peter, can you tell us what these great and precious promises are? I sure can. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse number 3 through verse 5. Here, Peter, by his own mouth, tells us what those precious promises are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away. Where is it? Reserved in heaven, not on earth. Friends, don't let nobody lie to you, telling you that God is going to come down and renovate this earth. No, God has reserved it in heaven. And so here we understand that Peter with his own mouth says that the great and precious promises is the incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven, waiting for us. And so when we stop and we consider these things, God is keeping it by his own power through faith and salvation ready to be revealed. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Flunder had to just make that quick point. And so we have something to look forward to. And one thing that we should never say, I want to live my life just so I could just be a good person. That's fine, well, and good. But we're living our lives because we want what God has already given us. And this is why when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have been given eternal life already. Now, as we're working from salvation, not for salvation. We're working because we're already saved. We're adding to our faith because we're already saved. Now what we're doing is sanctifying that old man that's within us by making sure that we are living according to his will. So notice what he says. That through these, you may be partakers. The word partaker there literally means a sharer, a companion, a partner, an associate, to jointly partake in that which is imperishable. The divine nature, when we consider this divine power, has given us something that we can read, something that we can think upon, that we may be sharers of the divine nature, the divine force, the divine order of things, i.e. God. God wants us to be sharers with him. Do I have to wait till I get to heaven to be a sharer, a companion with God? No, I can do that now. As a matter of fact, it's incumbent upon me, it behooves me to be a sharer of God now, because if I'm not a sharer now, I won't be a sharer later. And so, notice what he says. And look at the language here. Having escaped. Now, friends, that's past tense. He's talking to people who had already obeyed the gospel. Remember Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 47? On the day of Pentecost, Acts 13, the church at Galatia obeyed the gospel. He's talking to people who have already escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The idea of escape is powerful. It literally means having broken free from confinement or control. Now, the reason why I bring that point out, because you remember what Peter called himself earlier. He called himself a bondservant. He was one that submittedly put himself under the control and confinement of Jesus Christ. And so the very fact that he says you have escaped the corruption that is in the world, how? Through lust, your forbidden desires. And so now notice what he says. Since you have all of these things, and since you have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, now I want you to do something.
Folks, we appreciate you being here with us tonight. We're going to end right here, and we're going to come back next week, Lord willing, and hear the second part of this great lesson. We want to remind you that this is rebroadcast on Friday morning at 7 a.m., and if you want to share this with a friend or neighbor, let them know. They can listen either here on the Gospel Radio Network through their computer or their phone or tablet, or they can also use the TuneIn app. And there are other ways in which they can listen to this program. But we hope you enjoy this study. Let us know if we can help you in any way. My name is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. We appreciate you being here this evening. We look forward to you again next Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening to Take Aim.